Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God Chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer requests and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Good morning again. My name is Barbara Cockrell. I'm your host for today. And our spoken prayer request for this morning, Sister Delia is requesting prayer for herself. She goes out and feeds the homeless and she's asking for strength. Also, we're asking for, Dion's asking for prayer for Carla Alexander. And our online prayer requests are, Alicia Allen is asking for prayer for Ronnie Taylor. Ronnie has congestive heart failure and has been placed on hospice. He needs prayer for God. That God would take the pride, hurt, and bitterness out of the situation. Thanks. There's another prayer request from JC for Shirley Bismarck, asking for healing prayer for my good friend. Thank you. And we have a prayer request from Yolanda Rhodes for John Robertson Sr. and Jr. Pray for John Robinson Jr. too. Hasha Jones, whose mother, Mika, passed from battling cancer. Pray also that their father, J.R. Robinson, may God bring comfort to the family in their loss. Our lineup for today is, the prayer will be done by the missus. And we have a wow declaration today. Beverly will be prayer warrior number one, and Jeff will be our closer today. I'll repeat that. The scripture will be read by the missus. We have a wow declaration today. Beverly is our first prayer warrior, and Jeff is our closer. May God bless you as I pass the call to the missus.
Good morning again. I will be reading Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and the doers of his holy word. As I pass the call.
Can you not hear it? Can you guys hear Marcus?
No.
Not really.
Nope.
was expecting that you guys could hear me through the mute system, so I'll have to give my spiel all over again. I apologize. For some reason, the file will not play, so I will have to do what I know to do. And thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. Thank God that the word says, be found ready. We were actually going to listen to Marcus Darling this morning, but for some odd reason, I can't get the file to play. Nevertheless, no worries, moving right along, and I will save the wild declaration that I downloaded for tomorrow. So I will jump right in. As you guys know, we've made several different modifications. I think last week was probably the smoothest transition of all, with the week being a corresponding week with the scriptures and the declarations, different shares, and so forth. It was a very fluid week, and so this week I want to talk about, and the wild declarations will not necessarily be in line with this, but they are some that I believe are more than worth revisiting. I think we have so many. I was listening last night as I was preparing, and it made my heart happy. I listened from the very, very beginning of when we started recording the calls, and I just listened to the changes and the fluidness and just how people have grown and the difference in the sounds and how people have been developed and cultivated. Some have moved forward and moved on. And it's just a good thing when you have the ability to see just how God is moving. It's not that we've done anything fabulous or special or wonderful or incredible, but what it is saying is that every single day that we've jumped online here has absolutely been worth it. So I just thank God for that. A couple of the things that I want to make sure that people experience when they visit the line, there are five specific topics, actually four, and then we have one that deals specifically with the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, your personal development and ministry and or growth. But I want to talk about assurance. And I'm just going to give you the standard definition, and thankfully I had prepared this to kind of combine with Saturdays, but since I didn't get to use all of it then, I will share a little bit of it on today. And I'm just going to give you the standard definition for assurance this morning. The state of being assured and or confident, certain in thought and in mind, confidence of mind matter, free to refuse doubt and or uncertainty, something that inspires or tends to inspire confidence, the act of action of assuring someone or something, a pledge, a guarantee, an oath, the act of conveying real property, that which is conveyed with no chance of change. Amen. That which is conveyed with no chance of change. I'll start right here. Yesterday I was just flipping through Facebook, and I saw a post. The thing about social media is you can be a voyeur. Without apology, nobody knows you're looking. but I saw a post from a young lady that I've known for many, many years when I used to sing secular. We almost used to run neck and neck to get specific gigs. But I also knew that she came out of a very familiar church family that I used to fellowship with quite often. BMZ, her siblings, her parents, and You know, we always used to say that's good stock. That's good stock. And here of late, I noticed that she had been attending the protest rallies, and every now and then you could find her with some of the strong, powerful voices in the activism community. And yesterday, this young lady shared that the Bible was given to us from the Catholic faith and Catholicism. The Catholic faith itself being founded in 1942. Don't believe me, you can look it up. Catholicism, or Roman Catholics, were obviously, you know, founded far, far earlier. But what was shared is that everything that she believed is now a farce. That we should wake up. And the commentary on the thread, I saw so many people that I watched grow up in the faith of Christianity chiming in, saying things like, I'm so glad that you're conscious. I know probably some of you saw my post yesterday. I was floored because I know what she comes from. I know what her roots are. I know how she was grounded in the faith by parents and grandparents and generations. And for those of you that do not know, I just ask that you keep lifting him in prayer. But my son is battling unbelief and not sure, and it's about the age. He get a pass at 23, but at 46, 50, well, honey, well, what in the world is going on? So after I read the post, and this is not a new topic, I've been kind of talking about this, but the Bible says that in the last days that the enemy would fool even the very elect, and that there would be a great falling away from the faith. And so it's a trip when Grandma Nim say, Jesus is coming. That was, I remember my grandmother saying that when I was probably old enough to understand or retain a thought or a conversation or a communication. Being a child, I remember my grandmother saying that, and I used to wave my hand. Honey, shut up. Don't nobody want to hear that every other day. You talking about Jesus coming. But, you know, when you start to see the Word of God unfold before your very face, and people who have showed up at service, because that's all I can imagine is that they showed up, that, you know, we sit amongst people and they are in the building. But the question you have to ask is, are they in the faith? And I began to ask the Lord, because I wanted to like call her and be like, what are you doing? And why would you do that? And who tricked you that hard? And so I started to ask the Lord. Now, mind you, our topic is assurance, 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 confidence, no chance of turning back, no chance of mind changing. And I began to ask the Lord, God, what happens to a person that the Word of God that they've listened to their entire life becomes obsolete, when it is an inanimate object? It is no longer the confidence or the competence which they stand in, but it almost becomes as fool's gold, as if someone has bamboozled them, hoodwinked them, duped them. They've been run amok. What happens to the heart of a believer? He said, oh, nothing. It is as it was, which was never. And I was like, oh, but how do you sit in church every single Sunday? You just sit there. Because in your mind, it's just the right thing to do because your grandparents did it or your mother did it. And I can remember being a young woman, and Demarie's father, who was a second-level FOI Muslim, his confidence was so solid. He walked he would do security for Farrakhan, but he was just so confident and competent in what he believed. But what I kept finding out is that they would use pieces of scripture but never complete them. They would take out what they wanted to take out, but the core of what they said they believed in, the fruit of Islam, and I'm not talking about Orthodox Muslims, but the fruit of Islam came from the basis of biblical principle in scripture. And so I remember teasing him because I said, well, why would you just use half of it? Well, you don't know if it's half of it. And I call it a staple-based faith because they be having pamphlets and stuff. Like, their books don't even have no binding, kind of like, and not to be funny or anything like that, but my struggle with the different faiths and religions, and we could, I tread carefully, but I'm going to just say some real solid stuff this morning because I need you to get it, because we're coming into a place where our faith will become put under fire, where we will probably be in situations periodically where people will challenge us, and you have to use wisdom in your response, and sometimes your response is silence, because we don't have to defend the word. It defends itself with manifestation of truth every single time. But I would look at, like, my son has these pamphlets, and I say, son, now who wrote these little pamphlets, sugar? Now, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but I don't understand how you could experience the power of God, how you could see God's hand in things, and how you could unqualify or disqualify the power of God based on an ethnicity or rationale, because faith is irrational. Faith in and of itself, if you believe the word of God that we're taught, if somebody's pushing buttons. If you believe that the word that we are taught, it is pretty hard to define without having had experience. And there's just a silent confidence. There's a silent assurance that comes. And I'll verify it with the word, but in this season, and I just kind of want to prepare you, and I know that more than anything, because I've said it, you'll see it more. And because I said it, you will experience situations or scenarios. You know, we have a tendency to defend what we believe, but you can't do that if you don't know that you believe it. And so technically, it's like this. When I asked the Lord, okay, how does somebody that I know, I watched grow up in church, I watched be at this function and that function, and I watched them serve, I watched them sing in the choir, I watched them serve at repasses. I saw him at Granny's and this, that, and the third. He said, well, first of all, none can come lest they be drawn. None can come lest they be drawn. Many will cry, Lord, Lord. But for many, they aren't even part of the equation. And it makes you sad. Wait one second. I'm sorry, guys. It makes me sad, I think, more than anything. But outside of that, to see people struggle with their faith like that, and I know that people are watching them and people are following them and people kind of may trust what they say or whatnot, I think that's the part that troubles me the most, because we have a responsibility as believers to carry the cross, and not only to carry the cross, but that our witness be sure and that it be solid. And so the word says, ask, seek, and knock, right? And so the reality is, what I'm finding is that people are believing on a very temporary and or surface base. They're believing because their parents believed. They're believing because their grandparents believed. They're believing because technically every single person, everyone has experienced some level of brainwashing. You can agree with me or not, but the reality is that's just the truth, and it's not that it's intended to be a bad thing, but the reality is we keep hearing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. For some people, the same way we feel about Christianity, they feel about Buddhism. For some Hindus, that all they grew up knowing and believing was the Hindu faith, and regardless of how irrational it may be to us, they feel the same way about us. I.e., it is extremely important that we have unshakable faith, and the only way to do that is thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when I began to think about our faith, we don't put fruit down on the floor and expect that someone eat it. We don't burn incense with regard to trying to cover up the stench of our sin for Jesus to get it. We are not necessarily concerned with playing tambourines in the town hall, but our faith is based on a real tangible solid foundation, and I know that we all believe that in a like-minded fashion, but the reality is there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people that sit in church every Sunday and rely on the pastor's teaching and the faith of their forefathers to carry them into this next season, and the truth is that we won't make it like that. It's a season where your faith has to be solidified by what you understand with your heart to be the absolute truth, and it has to be unshakable because, and not to sound morbid, but we're approaching an hour, we're approaching a season, we're approaching a time where your faith is going to be tested, it's going to be ridiculed, and people are going to call you on the carpet, and you kind of got to know, because if you don't, it will shake you. It will confuse you. It will make you say, well, maybe there's some validity, because, you know, they have a tendency to consider our Bible slave mastery and his ultimate form of control. But and some even say, well, we are co-creators with God. Listen, I don't want to create nothing. I'm sorry. I don't do too good on my own without my Jesus guide. Without my Holy Spirit, I blow it. I blow it over and over again. I don't want to co-create nothing but what he inspires my heart to experience here in the earth. I am not interested in my doctrinal soundness as a parishioner or a theologian. I base everything that I believe on the fundamental foundations of the principles of the Word of God, and I'm excited that my faith is unshakable, not because my mother's was, not because my grandmother's was, not even because my great-grandmother's was, but because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so just with that said, I'm going to give some scriptures, but I want to say this because I think it's really important. I think it's really important that you have a set-aside study time. I think that it's really important that outside of the call, that you have a time of devotion where the Holy Spirit itself can pour into you and speak into you and move through you and give you a different confidence, a different solidarity to really understanding and knowing that once you belong to him, once you are in relationship with him, the truth is nothing can change that but you. And you can either, and I say this all the time, you can either build it or you can allow it to die. 1 John 5:13, These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And I think that knowing that we only live to live again, wouldn't it be a treachery if the folks that have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ come to their day of judgment and they change their mind because they went to a Black Power meeting and they get before Jesus and he say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Hebrews 10 and 22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Isn't it good to know that the only thing that we have to do is have a made-up mind and a dedicated heart to who we say our sovereign Savior is? 2 Timothy 1 and 12. "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, and I am confident that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of Christ Jesus." 1 John 5:11-13. "And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And the beautiful thing is that for me, And this was my personal interpretation, there is not a faith where an exchange was made anywhere, ever. For Buddha, that he was just a man. For Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he's still in the casket. Hare Krishna and Damila, there are so many great men and women who were full of wisdom. But the reality is, without Jesus, there is no life. Without believing in the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God being gracious enough to send a physical example, being wise and kind enough to give us a spiritual comforter, something and someone that lives on the inside of you and empowers you to be able to overcome every obstacle that you might face in this life. There is nothing else that makes sense for me, and how I understand that if we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and we are joint heirs with him, we are adopted into the royal family. Romans 8 and 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Deuteronomy 9 and 3, "Knowing therefore today that if it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire, he will destroy them and he will subdue them before you so that you may drive them out and to destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you." There are so many scriptures, and I would implore you to just do a study and really start to understand what it is that you say you believe. You ought to have the power to convey a message of faith and hope. You ought to be able to introduce someone to our risen Savior at any given moment. At the drop of a hat, you ought to be able to ask somebody, "Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" You ought to have in your repertoire or in your armory, you ought to have the tools necessary to introduce somebody to what it is that you say you believe, and not to defend it, not to contest what they believe, because I just get tickled, because I'm like, wow, seem to me like it would be a little difficult for you to be able to lead me anywhere with a comic book. I'm just not going with you. I don't get that. I'm sorry. And you'd have to have a little bit more than a pamphlet. Honey, where is your Bible? And if your little pamphlet keep on having bits and pieces of my scriptures in it, then I'm going to just go ahead and deal with what they want to call this white Jesus. You can just call me foolish. I have insurance. I have a policy. Now, I don't know the exact value of it because I'm not the one that gives it. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So this morning, I just want to remind you, why do you believe what you say you believe? And if you are not sure, position yourself to get some confidence, because knowing without a shadow of a doubt, there is nothing. Anyone can tell me. You all ought to see me and my little son, and sometimes he'll try to tell me about what he believes, and it's cool. You know, he got to figure it out on his own, and I give him that room, and I just cover him with the Word of God. But I make him so nervous because I'll be like, yeah, well, just make that make sense. Now, if you can make that make sense, I'll listen. But you're not going to be able to just sell me a whole bunch of wolf tickets and call it sovereignty. That's going to be a little problem. So anyway, that's the brunt of my share this morning. I hope that it kind of made you think. I hope that it put you in a position to challenge you and to encourage and or implore you to go a little bit deeper, so that when faced with a challenging question, because we live in an atmosphere where the enemy's responsibility is to distract you. And so there will become things that you will become aware of, and you need to be able to hold on to your faith by all and any means necessary. You need to know why you believe what you believe. And somebody needs to mute their phone unless you're about to pray as I pass the call to Bernice or Beverly. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Sorry.
Beverly.
Beverly.
Amen. Go ahead, Bev.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Father God, I just thank you for everyone who has come before me and for the sacrifices made for on this line this morning, for everyone getting up at a specific time to be able to reach out to you and hear what you have to say. We thank you, dear Lord, to helping us cultivate the simplicity of devotion to you. I want you to be my primary ambition in life. I desire to behold your beauty and dwell in your house all the days of my life. Let seeking your heart be the goal of my life, even in busy and stressful times. Help me to be the one who seeks after your beauty. Help me to discover your emotions and the purposes of your heart. I want to be a lover of you, God, and I thirst after you daily. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadows of your wings. Father God, I pray that same prayer for everyone. Teach us how to align our hearts with yours. I recommit myself, as we should all recommit ourselves as men and women after your heart. I choose to seek your face in difficult times. Open our hearts to receive your revelation. Hide us in the shelter of your tabernacle. Reveal deeply in our hearts your love for us. Rescue us in the midst of difficult circumstances and bring us to a spacious place, Father God. Teach us to enjoy life the way you desire. Father God, we choose to be confident in your love. I am your bride. I love you, Lord. One thing that I ask from you, Lord, is what I seek, that I may dwell in your house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze on the beauty of you, God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the lives of your saints. Teach us in a way so that we may be able to understand and not lean to thine own understanding. Touch us, God, so that we may be able to be of you. Touch the hearts of many. Touch our land, Father God, so that we may be able to be safe. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the sick, for the shut-in, for those who cannot be able to get out and share your word, Father God. But give them the unction to be able to do it another way. Find a way to be able to touch you in the name of Jesus. I thank you.
Her call just dropped, it appears. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord God, for guidance, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus, Lord God, being that solid rock, Lord God. That solid rock, Lord, that we can stand on your holy word. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, Lord God, in our right minds, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for your directions, Lord God. Thank you for keeping us, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. It is you, Lord God, that we look into, Lord God. Your holy word, Lord God, that we stand on. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that heaven, Lord God, is our direction, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to stay focused and to see, Lord God. Heaven is our purpose, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, that we won't be deceived, Lord God. Hallelujah, in these last days, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us, Lord God, that there is a fierce battle, Lord God. Hallelujah, going on the inside of us, Lord God. Cleanse us up, Lord. Cleanse us up, Lord God. Lord God, we understand and know, Lord God, that it's not by our own power, Lord God, that it's not by our own strength, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. That is by your spirit, Lord God, the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that we are able to stand today, Lord God. Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for the directions, Lord, that we receive, Lord God, here on this prayer line. Declare victory, Lord God. Hallelujah, that we will win, Lord God, if we don't quit, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Empower us, Lord God. Strengthen us, Lord God. Build us up, Lord God, in the areas, Lord God, where that we are weak, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, not to faint, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, let us not be weary, Lord God, in well-doing, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Lord God. Oh, we say thank you, Lord God, because it is you, Lord God, that first loved us, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for drawing us, Lord God, with your love and your kindness, Lord God. Thank you for your holy word. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Thank you for keeping us, Lord God, with all of the distractions that is going on in the world today, Lord God, that we can keep our eyes on the sparrow, Lord God, that we can keep our eyes on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for our forefathers, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for Grandmama Nim, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for Big Mama Nim, Lord God, for taking us to church, Lord God. Hallelujah, for introducing us, Lord God, to their faith, Lord God. Hallelujah, until we can develop our own. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the power, Lord God, of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Your spirit, Lord God. Your holy word, Lord God. So, Lord God, I pray today, Lord God, hallelujah, for a foundation, Lord God, wherein that we study your holy word, Lord God. Help us to study, Lord God. Help us to believe for ourselves, Lord God. Help us to know, Lord God. Help us not to be tossed to and fro, Lord God, by every little wind, every little doctrine, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to have assurance, Lord God, to know for ourselves, Lord God, that which we believe. Lord God, it is you, Lord God. It is you and your holy word, Lord God. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord God, not to be ashamed of the gospel, Lord God. Thank you for your truth. Hallelujah. Lord God, you tell us in your word, Lord God, that it's your set us free. Free us today, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to be obedient to your holy word, Lord God. Lord God, we have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. This physical vessel of ours, Lord God, this human flesh, Lord God, oh, hallelujah, that wars against the spirit, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Touch us today, Lord God. Touch us in our physical body, Lord God. All of the whatever ailments, Lord God, that we may be experiencing, Lord God. Oh, thank you that by your stripes we are healed, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We claim victory today, Lord God. Hallelujah. We won't quit, Lord God, trusting and believing and standing on your holy word, Lord God. Hallelujah. For those of us, Lord God, that are experiencing physical pain in our bodies, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. By your stripes we are healed. Oh, hallelujah. We say thank you, Lord God, for our loved ones, Lord God. For our unsaved loved ones, Lord God, that we are praying for and we are believing, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. So, Lord God, that hallelujah. Empower us, Lord God, to live right. Oh, hallelujah. So, hallelujah, that they can see, Lord God, Jesus working through us, Lord God. So much to be grateful for, Lord God. Continue, Lord God, to fill us, Lord God, with a spirit of service, Lord God. Hallelujah. So that we would love on our neighbors, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, so that we'll be that willing vessel, Lord God, to be of service to our neighborhoods and our communities, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord God. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Lord God, we lift our finances up to you this morning, Lord God. Lord God, we want to be obedient, hallelujah, every area of our lives, Lord God. So I lift my finances up to you this morning, Lord God. Help me, Lord God, to be a tither, Lord God, to give into your kingdom, Lord God, financially, Lord God, time, Lord God, physically, Lord God. Help us to be well complete, Lord God, well-rounded, Lord God, solid in our commitment and our service to you, Lord God. There's so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Let us not go astray, Lord God, in these last days. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Jesus, if you was to come back right now today, Lord God, let us be ready, Lord God. Lord God, we love you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Lord God, right now I ask, Lord God, that we all take our phones off of mute, Lord God, and collectively, Lord God, lift up Jesus Christ, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Trusting in you, Lord God, and your holy word, Lord God, that you can keep us, Lord God, in these last days, Lord God. It is you, Lord God, that we build our foundation on. Yes, Lord. Collectively, Lord God, we lift up your name.
We thank
Lord God,
you,
Lord God, that if you be lifted up, that you will draw all men
unto you, Lord God.
Lord God. So this morning, Lord God, collectively, Lord God, we cry out to you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Trust you,
Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for the guidance, Lord God, that we receive, Lord God.
That we'll truly and depend on you with our whole heart.
We trust you, Lord God.
We acknowledge you all our ways so that you can direct our path. This morning, Lord,
you've
given us the
Lord God.
That greater work than all
It will never lose. It won't lose its power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word, Lord God, that tells everyone
that is lost to flow beside. Oh, yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day to never lose its power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood, God.
Yes,
thank you for the sacrifice, God.
Thank you,
we can depend on you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Never lose its power.
Yes.
Hey, the blood. Yeah, yeah. It never loses its power. I don't care what men say, but the blood never loses its power.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It will never lose its power. They can believe what they want, but the blood will never lose its power. Never lose its power.
Oh,
hey, the blood never lose its power. I'm so glad the blood still works. Never lose its power. Oh, God, I know it will never lose its power. Sure enough, good enough for me, the blood. Never lose its power. Covers us and it cleanses us, the blood. Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father God.
It will I'm so glad it will never lose. I'm so confident it will never lose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Glory.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. We will not deny your power, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We bless your name, God. We thank you for the blood, the blood, the blood, God. We thank you.
Thank you for the blood.
Oh, we magnify you this morning. Hallelujah.
We're confident in you, God.
God, yes, God.
Well, good morning. Amen. Once again. This is Barbara Cockrell. I have been your host for today. I know that something has been said to touch each of us. Is there anyone on the call that is new to the call that would like to say good morning? Well, I'm so glad there are so many victors on the call. Are there any victors on the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning. This is
good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. Good morning. Was that Beverly?
Bubbly.
Nope, Bubbly.
Bubbly. Oh, good morning, doll.
Morning.
Hey, Bubbly.
Yo, yo.
Have a good first day back at work, Bubbly.
I know.
Thank you.
Our prayers go with you, darling.
Yes, for me to choose wisdom. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Did I hear Brother E try to come in? Good morning. Anyone else want to say good morning?
Good morning, family.
Good morning, family. It's Pam.
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Dondria.
Hi, Pam.
Good morning,
Andrea. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Good morning, beautiful people. This is Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Morning, Ruth.
Morning, family. It's Moni.
In the
good
middle.
Morning,
Moni. In the middle.
Morning, Moni.
Good morning, everyone. This
good
is Leisha.
Hey, Leisha.
Good morning, Leisha.
Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good morning, Leisha.
Outstanding.
Yes.
What I'm talking about.
I'm still on that blood. It still works.
Yeah, Lord.
I know that's right.
Yeah, it
thank
does.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it does.
Anyone else want to say good morning? Well, I know.
1 second, y'all got kicked out. Hold on.
Being recorded by the organizer.
Yeah, y'all know my Kayla girl is officially 1 year old today. Hallelujah. I thank God for her life.
Happy birthday, happy birthday,
little one.
Happy birthday, sweetie.
Happy
birthday, Kayla.
Happy birthday, Kayla.
Happy birthday, Kayla.
All right.
Happy birthday, Kayla.
Miss Dion, I pass the call to you.
Well, good morning again, guys. I figured out what I did with the WOW declaration. I should have told Erica to do it. I'm tripping. But nevertheless, didn't God work that thing out any old way? I love how God works because we got a good, fresh reminder that the blood still works, even though Marcus was about to bring it in for us, unbeknownst to him this morning. Before I get started, I just want to ask, I hope that, you know, that whole topic is is pretty touchy and or sensitive. I hope I did not offend anyone. That was certainly not my plight this morning. But just to kind of keep us abreast of what's going on, because it is heavy. It is a lot, and it is running rampant. And I want to make sure that anyone that God has given me any type of role in your life, that I don't have a waver in me, honey. Ain't no sway. Ain't no, well, maybe, let me go see. I'm not interested. You don't got to validate nothing for me. You don't have to justify nothing for me. I believe what I believe, and that settles it in my heart and in my home. Amen. So did anybody get anything from the declaration? Have any questions, concerns, comments, anything? You are more than welcome. Now's your chance.
Good morning, Ms. Rhonda.
Look, it's 49 folks got something to say. Okay, so let's get an order. I'm
in there, too.
I heard Diane, Ravonda, Dee Dee, and who else?
Leisha.
And Leisha. Okay, so do it in that order. Diane, Ravonda, Dee Dee, Leisha. Go ahead. Go ahead, Diane.
It wasn't me, Dee.
Oh, it wasn't you? Okay, so go Ravonda, Dee Dee, Leisha.
It's funny because I read the I commented on the link that you your post when you put that up.
That is now.
And I remember.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
I remember being in college, and a lot of times because I may not have prioritized my time, I would rely on Cliff Notes. And if anyone know about Cliff Notes, they kind of help you to be familiar with a topic. It doesn't necessarily mean that you know it that much, but you might be able to participate in a conversation, or maybe you might pass a test if you study these notes, but at the end of the day, it's still someone's opinion about what is important concerning a topic. But I had the wonderful opportunity on last Sunday to teach the teens. And normally, I'm in children's church. I teach 9 through 12. But this particular day, I had the opportunity to teach the teens. And they're 12 to 16, I believe. The oldest one might have been 15 in the room. And I already knew that I wasn't going to go in and asking people to sit down and be quiet. And so our topic of discussion was basically the Lord's Prayer, which we've been hitting on throughout the whole children's church until we get our information. But the Lord had me go into another direction, and the one direction that I took them in, what makes your faith different from someone else's? What do you believe? And I wanted to know who in the class was born-again believers. And what was absolutely awesome was everyone in the class had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so we went to Romans. But one of the things that I asked them was, what makes your faith different from someone else's? And can you defend it? Can you share your faith? And a lot of times we have a tendency to complicate what it is that what we believe in when Christ has made it quite simple. The complexity comes in because we are flesh and blood, and we mess up, and sometimes we don't understand the sovereignty of God or his grace and mercy. But for me, these teens, because I know that soon they're going to be off to college, they're in the world, all of those things, what is it that you believe? And so we went through just different things that the distinction between what we believe and others. And as some who say that they believe in Jesus Christ, but do they have a relationship? And so we talked about trust, and we talked about resurrection and resuscitation and crucifixion and trusting and all of those things. And they were more in tune than I thought. They could answer these questions. And by the time we ended the class, what was really good was it was like, Ms. Ravonda, you going to come back and teach next week? And I said, no, you guys are not my class. I said, but the thing that was really wonderful was that they have an idea of what to do, you know, and that they believe in what they believe. You know, and sometimes When we've been introduced to when we were introduced to what we believe, we didn't go on. We didn't continue on in our faith. Because it's one thing to believe, but when you really know it, you can tell somebody about it and you can share it with someone else. And so this morning's declaration was basically, it was just off the chain, you know, because I think that when people have been introduced to Jesus Christ, and no one has accepted him unless they've been called. But I remember a scripture in John. It talks about Jesus tells the Lord about, you know what, I haven't lost none that you've given me. I haven't lost any, you know. And I think that what happens with a lot of us in our faith, or some who have gone wayward, a lot of them haven't continued in the faith because they haven't learned. And it's impossible to really fasten down and to really the transition of believing and trusting God comes in having a personal belief and then knowing about who it is that you're in a relationship with that is lasting. And so I really enjoyed the declaration this morning because sometimes we want to go on our feelings. We want to go on, you know, the experience. And a lot of people have experienced the Lord Jesus in church through a feeling or the excitement and the hype or, like you said, my mama's relationship or, you know, my daddy's relationship. But the personal relationship, we take for granted that everyone in the house is with us. And that's not always the case. And I think that what's going to happen with the churches, we're going to have to go back to what works, and that's the Word of God. And we have to trust the Word of God and not so much our organs, and not so much our wonderful exhortations and exegeting and all that kind of stuff. But we have to really go back to the Word of God and know that it makes a difference and that it works. It's the healing salve. And it's the thing that will transition our lives and in the lives of other believers. And I think I wrote a post one time about the unbelieving church, that a lot of times the church doesn't believe in the Word. That's
no, crazy. Honey, the best definition I think I've ever heard is Christian atheism.
My God, we don't believe the Word works anymore. So we come up with a whole bunch of semantics, you know, to bring people in and everything, when at the end of the day, most believers can't defend their faith. They can't say what they believe in. And then we send, even with our children, we send them off to college, and they don't know what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sadness of it. So this was a good one. This
Amen.
Was a good declaration. Thank you, Dion.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Didi. Whew. Father God, I'm just saying, kind of what Ravonda touched in, because I can speak for my son Armani when he went away from college, and I shared it before, because you lose sight sometimes. He went up to Oregon, and even during his freshman year in his religion class, and having a professor that pretty much told them God doesn't exist and who is Jesus, and you hear now and all this stuff, those who have that experience. But he was like the top athlete in the league. Got recruited, got up there, and then to have a coach that said Jesus is not welcome here, and just the experience of being there and almost losing faith in what you thought you knew. And like you said, it's such a good topic because of just going out there and, you know, experiencing the world and then having all these people from different walks of life. And, you know, you're dealing with atheists and people that worship devils and all kind of stuff that they're exposed to. But it's his foundation and his praying mama, like Brother Jeff said, mama them and grandmama them, and just having a connection with an amazing Bible teaching pastor like Pastor Nutt and Pastor Brown and all those who you could watch, you know. And then for us, the real life experience for Armani was seeing his cousin, who's like his brother, literally die, and God bring him back to life. So that really showed him that God is real. Because, you know, when the doctor said not so, he was able to see faith, if that makes any sense. So he said, Mom, I almost lost it, but
even today in his music, it's a few of his songs he talks about God showing up in a mirror and showing him who he is. And then we were listening to it yesterday, and he's detesting and rebuking Satan because he almost lost it in that world. But it's the grace of God and everything that was put in him that he never lost sight, because the blood still works for those who are going through with their children, loved ones. Just continue to trust God with it. Give it to God, because once it's in you, it's in you. And I'm just grateful today for Declare Victory and for my son saying, Mama, I watched you and I hear you, and you guys have heard him on the call. It's easy to talk it, but they need to see it. So we have to just let our words catch up to our faith. Dion, thank you for this. Wow, it's a wow. It is a wow. I love you guys.
Amen, amen. Go ahead, Leisha.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Leisha. I wanted to just thank everybody for what they said so far, because I've gotten so much from it, even from the prayer and whoever was singing. Such a beautiful voice. I was like, wow. You know, but one of the things that I wanted to talk about, you were talking about Facebook. And so they have, like, all of these different organizations that have pop-ups, and you could, you know, like it, and then all of a sudden they'll put things into your news feed. But there's this one that's called Blackmail Images, and they always talk about different African histories. But I noticed in the last couple of weeks, they've been down in Jesus. Jesus ain't real. Jesus is the white man. Jesus is a white religion. So what I did is I unfollowed it. Because what I know to be true is if anything is against Christ, I need to cut it off. Because I don't need nothing in my mind every day telling me that Jesus is not real, when I already know that he has proven himself time and time and time again. So there's nothing that can discourage me from my faith, because I've had to walk through a lot of storms, and God has been right there pushing me through. And so I appreciate it. You know, I talked about, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, about, you know, the anniversary of my mom's passing away. Well, it was yesterday, and me and my daughter and my nieces, we all went out, put some flowers on her grave, and then went to Dave and Buster's. And before doing that, I was able to have some sit-down conversations with my nieces there, you know, preteens and teenagers, you know, and just impart some wisdom. We prayed. We talked about God. And, you know, I felt a whole lot better, because what I did was I got outside of my own feelings. And I gave back. I got them kids, took them, dealt with all kinds of stuff. You know, kids bring a lot of stuff that you may not want to always deal with. They might be arguing, talking, or whatever, but I powered through it, and I was of service. And what I noticed is that if I'm of service in a godly way, I can get out of whatever pain I'm going through, because it's not about me. It's really about the bigger picture. And I said all that to say that anything that is going to deter me from my faith in God, I'm cutting it off, because I don't have time for that. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the unfortunate part is this: it works dual ways. Honey, whatever you feed, going to show enough grow. And that's just the cold, hard reality of truth. Anybody else have anything?
Yes, but real quick, I just want to jump in. Good morning, Victory family. I got a coworker, and he's been talking about the black Israelites
right
a whole lot lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even though I'm saved and I love Jesus, you know, and I just listen. Convince you, I mean, you know, because he got all these different analogies and you know, Islamic and Muslim and you know, now he you know, on the black Israelite thing, and I'm like, oh, I'm just listening to him, and I just keep talking about Jesus and how I'm gonna live my life, you know, and I'm not gonna try and sway you over to serve the Lord Jesus. If you want to, you know, roll with the black Israelites or whoever you want to roll with, that's on you, my brother. But I'm going to stand firm on this solid rock. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I try to be stay open minded, but like Susie just said, I'm not going to be swayed and drug over away from the rocks. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Well, there are this one in particular, newer one, it's deeper than the Black Israelites, and they're winning a lot of you got to keep in mind too the culture and the time, mm-hmm. especially for young Black men who have not had a father. Say it again.
You're right. I'm just.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go on.
No, you're fine. But it's really they target them because they know that, you know, with the unfortunate thing about Christianity is at times if you are not girded up in the Word of God and you don't understand the principle of not having to defend your faith, anytime a Jesus would carry a cross up a hill on his back, be beaten and spat upon and all of that, in their mind, because we talk about how strong Black men are supposed to be and you can't cry and you can't do this and you shouldn't do that, it makes it appear as weak, which is how over a period of time they won people to Fruit of Islam and really the organization and structure, because the truth is every child, every person really wants to be corrected. I remember when I was in the world just doing, you know, what I wanted to do, I'm saying to myself, ain't nobody going to check me. Ain't nobody going to roast me. Ain't nobody going to be like, what are you doing? Get your little self together. I remember being angry at my mom for not correcting me about something that I knew I had no business doing. And I even remember ending a friendship because, honey, every time I say I want to do something absolutely ridiculous, you can't keep jumping up talking about, yeah, come on, let's go. You're an idiot. And I don't want to go nowhere with you. I'm scared of you. Go away. And so we have to be mindful. The other one is called the Moors. Now, what this is, it deals with law. And it teaches the kids to know the law. They got my son buying every kind of dictionary, and he's already extremely intelligent but just don't have no common sense. And so there have been times I put him on punishment by taking books from him because he would read too much and have his mind all over the place, because faith comes by hearing. And I taught them as little kids to read out loud because you retain it better. So, honey, can you imagine the conglomerate of foolery I have to shuffle through? And then he get mad because I'll just bust out and start laughing, and I don't mean no harm, but, honey, you sound like a whole idiot. Nevertheless, anybody else have anything? Amen. So I'm gonna give you this. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have a responsibility to know what the word of God says for our life.
But that's me and Hadassah's contention right now. You know, we have those, you know, she talks, you know, our biggest conversation is always in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish we could have these conversations at home, but for some odd reason, we're in the car when we have these kind of discussions, you know. And the thing is that most people don't realize that our children are exposed to so much stuff. That's the reason why we have to make sure that we believe and that we can defend, and that we not only that, teach and pass it on to our children, you know, because Hadassah has had some real serious exposure to a lot of this stuff. And we're talking, even the Black Hebrews, they have, you know, it's separatism. And that's not what Christianity is about. It's not about separatism. As much as we would like to think that it is, it's not about separatism. Because when the Lord tells us in the Great Commission to go ye therefore unto the world and compel men to come, that doesn't sound like separating. So we already know on that first level that it's not about being separate. It's not about that at all, but it's about giving people what they need to have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm dealing with Hadassah on, she has, when I tell you, I had to pull up some scriptures, and not so much quoting the scripture, because most of the people that we talk to, they don't know the scripture. So how do we present it in a way that will win? At the end of the day, we want to win a soul. That's it. It's not about refuting what you believe, the thing that you believe right now is wrong. No, but how do we win them? And so it's about really debunking, and when I say debunking, I mean debunking what it is that you think you want to believe. It don't work. And what's crazy is what the enemy does, and we saw this with Adam and Eve. What he'll do is he'll mix the truth with a little bit of some of this here and some of that there, you know. And that's what we're dealing with, people mixing the truth, because these people will mix what we believe and the thing that we stand upon, and they'll mix it with some truth, and we'll make it appealing. Because and what I have experienced lately is with the Black Hebrews, when I tell you crazy, it's crazy. It's like, how can I say? It's when you look at, oh, my God. It's like this. It's being against people. It's like let's go over here and we sit and we don't want nobody else to be with us. And it's like Black people are the only people. It's racism in a whole nother level, you know. And you have to be very careful, and you have to know what you know, and you have to stand upon what you know, because what they're saying is that Black folks is the best race. Everything has come from us, and we're this and we're that or whatever.
But beyond that, they're saying that we're God.
Yes, we're God. Like, that's what it is. right, we're God. No, we're not.
No, honey, I ain't finna take that kind of. Is you trying to get me killed? Shut up.
That's what it is. I had a conversation outside of the salon where I'm talking to a fellow barber, and we're talking and everything, you know, and before I knew it, we were in a full-fledged conversation. And I told him, I said, at the end of the day, yes, you are a Black man, but at the end of the day, where will you spend eternity? And he could not answer me. It was so sad. At the end of the day, where will you spend eternity? While you're saying that we're the master race and that, you know, the melanin in our skin, a whole bunch of foolery, you know, and our Black men, and especially, and it seems like it's just like this big old thing about our Black men for some odd reason. And I said, well, you know what, but at the end of the day, yes, everything that you said, I understand and I hear you. But where will you spend eternity? How can you defend your faith? And here it is. We have a God who has made us, this wonderful God who has made us, eloquent. You see so many different people who are different hues, skin, and all that kind of stuff. How can you explain that he will make one race superior? Why would he?
Not just one race superior. But why would you deduce God to an ethnicity or a color? Why would you deduce? Ask one of them this question. Tell me how the respiratory system works. Tell me that. Tell me how some reproductive organs work. Honey, if you can't answer that, ain't nothing God about you at all. Only a God could create us how he created us. That's just my take.
Hi everyone, this is Pam. I have someone really, really close to me who very similar to your situation, what you were saying, Dion, about you know, you came up with this person, and this person is still dear to my heart. We used to share, you know, how, you know, I used to learn a lot from this friend about how, you know, Jesus has done so much. And I had a very complicated conversation. Now, it was really difficult for me, too, because it kind of blew me out of nowhere. It was probably a few years ago. We were doing this Bible study, and this friend, same thing, was mentioning very similar. I don't know the names to it. You know how I'm hearing you guys talk about Black Israelites, whatever. I don't know, but it did have to do with just the Old Testament. I don't know if anyone's heard that. But, yeah, it's a lot of it has to do with, it really took me into a Bible study, you know, with this person, because I was like, what? And a lot of it is fact. You know, a lot of it is Bible-based. And then, you're getting down to how the Bible was created. I mean, and I think the more intelligent you are, like you were saying, your son, same thing, you can really get too deep up into it. So, you know, it's the Word of God, and you got to have the Holy Spirit with you in that. You know what I'm saying? You can't just go in your mind and just go into read the Bible. You know, you have to invite God's Holy Spirit into it. So I hope that's
absolutely
some kind of...
Pam. I totally get it. And then the crazy part is a lot of what my son says. It's not super far fetched, but contingent upon what division of whatever the religion or faith or whatnot that they believe, it's predicated on law. And so what I had to explain, honey, I'm not bound to the law. If Jesus is not real, then grace and mercy doesn't exist. That's it. That means we're going to all go to jail, hell, and the rest of the stuff for the things that we've gone through, the things, you know, for the sins that we've committed or the, you know, whatever you want to call them. And a lot of it has some fact to it, but it's twisted. And it goes right back to the Word of God, you know, and the reality is if you just use logic in most cases, that you'll start to unravel what it is. But this one particular thing that my son believes, it has black magic to it. And so mm-hmm. I study about it so I know exactly how to pray. Lisa mm-hmm. just sent me something. Second Peter 1:10, yeah, I did read that. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And so I think, you know, and that R word is pretty touchy because people, you know, have different revelations of what they feel or deem respect is. And so, you know, I don't attempt to belittle my son because the irony is that before my election became made sure, and I had been in church my entire life, when I met DeMarie's father, he was so confident in what he believed. I just wanted to know. I was like, oh, I need to know why I say I believe what I believe. And it started my journey. And I was actually 24 years old, around about the same age as him, which is why I'm not, you know, worried to the nth degree, because I get it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I get the curiosity. I get the reason in wanting to know what he believes. I understand. And I was, I am an intellectual, and so is my son. The only mm-hmm. difference is I had a whole bunch of common sense and street sense. So there were some things that were just not practical for me, and Christianity for me was the only thing that made sense. And I got it. It made sense. I got it, and it was easy to apply to my life. And so, you know, I have to be really, really careful because I said, son, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Just know this. Don't try to convince me of what you've found to be what you believe. And we good. You know, do you, because I know how to pray. I know how to, because I know what I'm fighting. I know I'm fighting a spirit. I'm not fighting you. You do you. Say it again.
I said I wanted to ask something.
Go ahead, Monty.
This is Iman. I just wanted, there's a lot of components, and let's see if I can remember them all, but someone was talking about the black Israelites, and I just wanted to add the difference between all those other gods and my God and the God that I hope we all serve is he has a lot of different distinctions, and one of them is love. And a lot of times you hear a lot of these other people putting down other races or putting down people, and that's not of God. That's not love. So therefore, you can separate yourself. So like the one lady said she got joined a group and had this thing on her thread, and they start downing Jesus. You don't have to. Our God, we don't need to go down any other God because we know the God that we serve. And he comes with love is one of the other things. And then you also said something, why do you believe? Well, why do I believe is because my grandmother believed, my mother believed, and they taught me how to believe. But outside of that, I have a relationship with them. What God can you serve that can tell you things that seem so peculiar, that seem so odd, and you do it, and it works in your favor? The God that will tell you, get up in the middle of the night because your door is unlocked. Man can't do that. The God to tell you, you left on that stove, go call your husband to see if he can go turn it off. Or the God to tell you, write that letter because that letter is going to be in your favor, and once you write that letter, all hell breaks loose. Why does God can do that? So that's the reason why I believe, because of the blood that he shed for us, for his mercy and his grace, when we act fools, that he covers us. There's no other God can do that. So I am so grateful for the foundation that I have for my mom and them and my grandmother and my aunties now, and that I have a relationship with him today, that he can speak to me, that I can feel him, that I know when he's near. And like you said, Deanna, I don't want the responsibility of being God, Mother Earth, and all this other kind of crazy nonsense. It's too much work. I'm going to leave it to him, because only he can tell you really how he designed our blood system and our circular system. Only he can tell you how he did that. Man can't do it. So the question that you asked, I believe, earlier was, why do we believe?
Yeah.
He also talked about false prophets, and we have so many false prophets coming. Everything that he says in that Bible is coming to be true. That's another thing you can look at. How day time. It's just the word. And then it's a scary thing because my children are going to be going to college.
Yeah.
And that's when they start changing their beliefs, because you have so many
atheists controlling the colleges now. But again, in that movie, I think, I can't think of the name, I drew a blank, but how can you hate something you don't believe in? If you hate Christ so much, how can you put some don't believe in it? Hey,
big question. Thank you.
One of the things that I had asked my class was, what is the distinction between what you believe and what others believe? And let me tell you, these kids, they're great. You know, at PFCC, it's kind of crazy because you don't think that kids know anything. But one of the young men talked about the resurrection. He said, the resurrection. I said, yes. I said, let me tell you, if you remove the resurrection from what we believe nothing. And I started there. Like I said, we did the Lord's Prayer and everything, but I talked about trust in the Lord's Prayer, because when you read the Lord's Prayer, you hear trust all in it. And so it lured me to go into, let's talk about this. So we talked about the resurrection and resuscitation. And the resurrection, and we talked about it, and I said, okay, so resuscitation, what is that all about? That means that you need somebody's help to bring you back to life. But the resurrection, when we got there, is when they got it. It was like Jesus said, nobody takes my life. And when we look at the crucifixion, and when you are when you're being crucified, he wasn't the only one that was. But the thing that was so awesome was this thing: the crucifixion. That was a way of torture. It took a long time. It's a long death or whatever. But God did it. He did it in record time. And he said, you know what? Nobody takes my life.
And the kids didn't get it until we talked about he said, nobody takes my life, but I'm going to lay it down. But I'm going to raise up, and I ain't going to need y'all help. I ain't going to need nobody help. And then he had people who witnessed that, you know what, he died in record time, and then he got up, and people saw this man who came back from life. He wasn't the only one who came back from death, but he was the only one that raised himself up. Nobody else had did it. Because it's one thing to be resuscitated, but it's another thing to be the resurrection. And so what other religions do, they have against Christianity is that this didn't happen. Yes, it did. And then he had witnesses. You take the resurrection out of what we believe, then it nullifies Christianity, and that's what they want to do. But no, it's historically been proven that this actually happened. And so that's where I started with the kids about the resurrection. Would you believe in it actually happened? Because guess what? You're going to learn history, and you're going to learn all this kind of stuff, the Roman Empire and all that kind of stuff. All of that stuff is about Christianity. Christianity talk about the Roman Empire, Jesus coming in, and they thought that, you know, when he came in on a donkey. How could this be our king? You know, and so we talked about it, and you have to, when you're dealing with these kind of children, you better make sure you know what you know. You know, I don't have to combat against anybody who is a theologian or anything like that. But when you're talking about teenagers, they're going to ask you questions, and you better know what you know. But what was so awesome was this one thing, that when we talk about resurrection and resuscitation, it was that changed the whole atmosphere of the day. That, you know what, Jesus didn't need any help, because God had already. He had already loved him. He had already given him. He already had the assurance that his son would go through this and that he could do it. And that's what he did. And he said, nobody takes my life. And he was willing to do it. And we talked about trust. We talked about relationship. And it's impossible to talk about the Christ that we serve. And it's impossible to have eternal life when we talk about the Christ that we serve, if you have no relationship. And so I had to talk with them about relationship. And we walked through all of those things. And we don't find that a lot of times in our churches, that you walk through a relationship because we say you get saved and you live right. No. It's just like when you meet somebody that you fall in love, that you have grown in love, not fall in love, whatever. We're not going to even talk about that. But that you've grown in love with, it takes some time. So we don't have those kind of classes anymore. We don't have that kind of nurturing anymore. We want it to be instant and all of that kind of stuff. But we have to make sure that people really get to know the person that they have to spend time with, that will make their life different, that will change their lives. Because I don't think that the gospel is that complicated, that, you know what, people don't get it. So when he said that, you know what, God, the ones that you've given me, I haven't, when Jesus said that to his father, I haven't lost one that you've given to me. I'm a given woman. You're a given woman. You're a given man. That you've been given to Christ. How does that feel? We're in relationship. So we're fighting the evils of people who are not used to having a relationship of trust and honesty and knowing that once I get to know you and get to know your words and your values and all of those things, that it'll make my life different. So we're experiencing all of that. It's not so much that it's the devil. No, it's people who don't know how to have a relationship.
Right.
And
right.
So that's why we're healing.
Mhm. Yeah. It's the whole thing is very interesting to watch. but what I'll say in this, as we get ready to wrap up the call itself, is that, you know, we have a responsibility to self. to know that you know that you know that you know what you believe. And it begins with admitting, maybe I don't know the way that I think I should. Maybe I should go a little bit deeper and search a little bit harder and make sure my election is sure and that it is I'm able to explain it. That's one of the things I told my son. Honey, sell me what you're talking about, see, because I peddle Jesus all day. Not just with what I say, but with how I live. It's a lifestyle. But that lifestyle mm-hmm. comes from knowing. It's no different than me being a cosmetologist. I went to school to do it. I had to study the craft. There are certain things you can't tell me, and there are certain things I'll never unlearn about being a stylist or a doctor or a nurse. I can't. Lisa can probably do an IV or whatsoever else in 2 seconds because she studied it. So make sure that you are studying the word, that it becomes a part of who you are and not just what you say you believe. So with that said, I'll do a last call. Anybody got anything else before we go? I hope this call blessed you.
This is Dion.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I just want to say, the movie I was mentioning was God's Not Dead. Thanks.
God's Not Dead. Okay. Thank you, Monty. Go ahead, Brother Eric.
Yeah, what you said was just very, very well put. You know, we've got to study our craft, and we've got to apply it. Just like you said, you as a pilot. Yeah, I mean, you can learn, you can go to beauty college and all that and everything, have all the knowledge in your head, but, you know, if you don't really begin to practice it,
exercise.
Then, you know,
that's
you
right.
don't have the experience.
That's right.
You know, and so this is what we have to do. I believe that in this age that God is preparing us, you talked sure. about it before, where we're going to have to stand on our faith. God has made this internet and things like Google available, man, so that we can have a multiplicity of sources of knowledge. Anything that you want to do, you know, the things that I can find on the internet now that I used to have to go to school, I have to go to the seminary library in order to find out. You can just type in Google now. And whatever you have doubts of, whatever you have questions on, whatever you want to know a little bit more about our faith, whether it be the Holy Spirit, whether it be how to pray, whether it be, you know, scriptures and commentaries, all you got to do is type it in. It's very, very easy. So, and I say that to say that there's no excuse for a soldier of Christ to not be at the most minimally prepared to give a word,
yeah, Lord,
and in defense, and to explain, you know, what we believe and why we believe.
Right.
You know, stop just going to morning worship, and just loving church because the music is good and because the pastor is on fire. You know, get yourself into Sunday school or Sabbath school. Study to show thyself approved. Like the verse says, if you don't study, you can't rightly divide.
Nope.
There's no way about it. You can't rightly divide the word of truth because you're not going to know the word of truth. And I say this to say this, you know, and like I said, you have the tools there. You have the tools necessary, and you've got to study for yourself. At Princeton, I had professors who could break down the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, knew the history back and forth, and didn't even believe in the virgin birth. So you've got to really study for yourself.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about.
Dion, can I add yeah. something to that?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Can I go after that, Dion?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You're right, Brother Eric, and not only Google it, but even some of the stuff you get when you Google, research that.
Yeah,
always go compare to the word, and like my pastor always says, he says, don't believe me,
exactly.
even though I'm up here in the pulpit, go and study for yourself, because a lot of times people do, they'll take what their pastor say, even what they hear on the call. Always study the word so you'll get a clear understanding in your own interpretation, because for me, maybe what you get and I get, we might get two different things, but the word is the word and it doesn't change. We also have to remember, yeah, grandmama and them, daddy and them, papa and them, whoever got there, got the foundation, it's still ours. We can't piggyback off of grandmama and them because they believed. Like Dion said, why do you? I mean, really, why do you believe what you say you believe? And is your faith really strong and has your talk caught up to your walk? Because for me, I'm tired of just talking because that's easy. I'm really being more mindful of my faith. I'm catching up. My words are catching up to my faith, if that makes any sense, so that my faith is getting stronger day by day, but it's new. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. Every day I have to die to self because there's nothing I can do about what I did yesterday. It's over. So going forward, I'm just trusting God because his word says he would never leave me nor forsake me. So I have to trust in him, not man, it's just God. It's all God. It all goes back to the cross. So for me, when I consider the cross, everything else doesn't even matter. So I hope that makes sense. And Dion, thank you, sister, because again, that it's wow. It's wow. For I'm going to be saying wow all day. So I love you and everybody have a wonderful day.
Good stuff. Go ahead.
Hi, Dion. It's Money. For me, I'm very thankful that I got to hear and feel God before I went through his word. And I truly believe that it's because my grandma and my Nana, which was her mom, were praying for us, for everyone. They were really going in. I know they were today. I mean, I wasn't there and I didn't hear their prayers, but I know today without a shadow of a doubt that they were going in deep and prophesying and declaring and decreeing and speaking life to the dead, to the dry bones in my family. I know that today because I can feel it in my heart. And so when I came to the Lord, I came because I heard him and felt him. And then I went into his word. But today, the young people, especially the middle-aged young adults, especially because they're harder to reach, the children, it's much more easier for them. The more mature adults, have a story of help behind them. But these young adults that are not yet full believers, it's very difficult to reach them. And so that's where it's really important for us to really go in deep as well for them and maybe shoot them a text with a verse or something because we got to help them along. It's more harder for them. And I say that because right now I have one in particular where I'm having to do that for. And I know that he was raised, I raised him in the church, but it's just his testimony to go through what he's going through. But it's very helpful when I throw him a verse, like spoon feed him, even though he was raised in the church, got baptized when he was 9 years old, or seven, something like that. But I still need to spoon feed him today a word of encouragement directly from the Bible that pertains to him, as well as on the side in my closet, going deep for him. So it's really important. I just wanted to share that with somebody today, that we really need to speak to those dry bones, speak to them and have faith for them, have faith enough that they can be changed or transformed or whatever, So I just wanted to share that.
Moni, that's great because you know what? We don't have to reinvent the wheel because we have the Word of God, and I often talk about the Word of God being our plumb line. Whenever you build anything, you have to have a plumb line. The plumb line always brings a balance. It let us know if we're doing something right or wrong or whatever. And if we stick to the Word of God, and I think that as believers, we have to go back to the Word and trust the Word of God. Because you know what? Sometimes we want to move in the prophetic and people saying whatever it is that they want to say and they want to prophesy and God gave me a word or whatever. But I say this first. Before you even do your prophetic or prophesy or whatever, know the Word of God. Because then we can try what it is that people want to say
we can, what we have is we have something that's sure that it will never move. It will never move. It always stands. And even in our prophesying and our teaching or whatever, if we make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, it has to. We have to stick to that. Even raising our children, and sometimes we come away from that because, you know what, we think we know it. Sometimes we don't, and we've got to go back to what did God say?
Yeah.
So if we get that spirit, what did God say?
Right.
Yep. It's the sure thing. It's the thing that the worlds were built on. All of us know as believers, he spoke a word, and the world was framed. The waters began to divide, and the earth appeared. The stars were in alignment, all of those things. And I really think that we have to be careful because we're coming into an age where the church are the biggest unbelievers. It's crazy. We're trying to sell people something that we don't believe in. I'm not saying we on this line because I know we believe. Jesus, I know we believe on this line. But we're trying to sell people something that we don't believe in. At the end of the day, we would rather listen to the prophetic utterance and all that kind of stuff, and most of the people who are doing that will not crack open a Bible.
Right.
I've been in a service where somebody will do a prophetic utterance and they ain't open their Bible at all. Are you kidding me?
Right.
What is this about?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the beautiful thing is that we have the fundamental, you know, and that's what this call is. It's based on making sure that we are not the deceived. I don't have time to be hoodwinked. I got enough of my own stuff to be worried about, but to God be the glory. He is faithful, and he is constant. And with that said, he say, my sheep knoweth my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And so just make sure you're not a stranger to the word of God for your life, and make sure that you are speaking the word of God over your children, because the beautiful thing is that I know that my son has the foundation. And the truth is I can't determine or choose or even make I can't plead for his soul. That's his responsibility as an adult who has the power to make a decision. And so my prayer is, Lord, I don't want him to miss the kingdom. That's all I care about. I remember my godmother passed away. And I knew she didn't have a relationship with God, and I was mortified because I could feel the distance. And, of course, I can't send her to heaven or hell, but somebody else mentioned it to me, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, when you have to lose loved ones and you know that their foundation was rocky, that's what makes me sad. I remember even with my father passing how, I could celebrate. Because I know he had a relationship. I know he wasn't second-guessing. I know he wasn't wavering. I know he wasn't trying to figure it out. He knew what he believed, and he stood on it. So just make sure you're standing consistently in the word and the will of God. And with that said, you guys, it's 8-ish. I got a couple of things to do. And I love you guys, and thank you for listening to my rhetoric this morning. I just pray that you don't lose your – I pray that your faith fail you not. How about that? I'm praying for you. That's what Jesus said. I'm praying for you idiots. Jesus, please keep on praying for me, because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be thrown off. Amen. And ironically, the young lady who posted it, I don't know if her sister, her mom, somebody told her to take it down because I went back. I was about to light her up like Christmas. But praise God, she deleted it. Ha ha. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I love you. Love you guys to pieces. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Marriage Matters tonight, 6 o'clock. And we will hear you in the morning. And there really will be a wild declaration tomorrow. So, amen. Let's
have
God say something different. Amen.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
You too. Bye-bye.
God bless you, everyone.
Bye.
God bless you all.
God bless you.
God bless you all.